What's up, bosses? Before we kick off this episode, I want to tell you about our sponsor this week. It is Rad Diversified REIT. Now, you're probably familiar with their CEO, Dutch Mendenhall. He's a good friend of the show. He's appeared on episodes 178 and 194, and Dutch was our most recent Boss Insider guest. He gave an awesome presentation all about the work that they're doing over at Rad. You can check out the full replay on our iLab Patreon account. He told us all about how Rad Diversified REIT allows investment partners to invest in cash flowing properties with substantial value add opportunities. Rad Diversified also offers monthly distributions, a 5% bottom line guarantee. They did a 36.7% return in 2020, and they've returned 33.42% in the last 12 months. So if you want to take a closer look at what Rad is doing, you just got to go to raddiversified.com/boss. That's Rad, R-A-D, Diversified, D-I-V-E-R-S-I-F-I-E-D.com. .com/BOSS. I'm going to tell you even more about Rad Diversified REIT during the break, but once again, if you want to check them out now, just go to raddiversified.com/boss. All right, let's kick off this episode.
Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
What's up, bosses? Welcome back to Invest Like a Boss. This is episode 202. I am here back home in Los Angeles, just freshly back from the Midwest to see a wedding with some family members that turned into kind of a mini COVID super spreader event. Just a reminder that the pandemic's still out there. I did test negative, but a lot of people tested positive after that. So kind of little weird moment and reminder that it's still out there. Sam, where are you at right now?
Well, that's an interesting question. I just got back to Barcelona. I cut a sequence of events, actually. Okay, I got a fever that was raging for about 2-3 days. It was scorching. It was like 104, 105 fever. So I went to the hospital, got the test out, and taste Spain's wonderful medical admission system.
Check out the boss lines for Sam's recap on that.
There we go. It was very frustrating, needless to say. I thought I was dying, and no one wanted to speak slow Spanish with me or even attempt to speak English. But you know, being in a hospital for a day is it's a humbling experience. You know, there's people that are very sick, getting horrible news, and even dying all around you. I didn't have COVID, but as I was sitting there, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to want to go do something fun after this. So right when I got out, computer crashed, and I was like, okay, can't work for the next 4 or 5 days. So I packed a fanny pack. You know, I'm talking about a fanny pack.
Like, oh yeah. Just goes, they're coming back. They're back in style.
They're coming
now.
Back. I'm telling you, I'm bringing it back in style across Europe. I'm rocking it everywhere. So I packed a fanny pack. Basically that was it. And just one, you know, the clothes that I was wearing, and I got on my bicycle and I just took off north. So I just started going, really no direction. And I just went up the coast of Spain and just ended in Girona. And I wouldn't have came back, except you were so persistent on getting this recording done, Derek, that I took a train back today from Girona to Barcelona. And that's where I'm at.
You know what,
Sam? Sam,
we love your adventurous spirit, but I'm trying to serve the audience here, because if we followed your direction, we'd have one episode a year.
That's why we pay you the big bucks. Or actually, that's why the Patreons pay you the big bucks. Thanks,
yeah,
Patreons.
Shout out, Patreons.
Couldn't do it without you.
well, this episode that we're going to have on, we're talking to the CEO of CharityVest. It's a donor advised fund, kind of a new way to access something that was really hard to access for anyone except the top 1% until very recently. This has been months in the making. I think, Sam, you might have reached out to me in like February, March, sometime this spring. And I've been in touch with Steven to try to get this to happen. And their platform just wasn't ready. And, you know, with all these regulations and you got to go through the government and everything's delayed with COVID and all that, but they're finally ready to release. So I was like, all right, we got to get you on the show. Why don't you explain how this idea for these donor advised funds really kind of came to fruition for you, Sam?
It was pretty simple. And the timing that you mentioned, me coming to you in like January and February and saying we should do this, was because it was the end of the year, end of the tax year, and I was scrambling to figure out a way to contribute smartly to charity. And we're going to talk about what Charity Vest does on this episode, of course, but investing in charity is, it can be complicated. And there's a lot of reasons why you procrastinate doing so and just push it off until next year or later in life. And for me, it was the end of the year. I was trying to find a good way to give. And I just, you know, basically came up short. Like I didn't have a cause that I was ready to pull the trigger on. And I didn't have any type of structure that I could put money in and gain the tax benefit now and just give the money out later. And so my CPA, Mario, recommended these funds, and I'd never even heard of it. So I started digging into it. And frankly, there's not a ton of information online because it is relatively new. And Charity Invest was one of the ones that popped up, and I took a look at their fees compared to other ones. They seemed like a good fit, and I'm super pumped to have them on the show. This scratches a huge itch for me, and we'll talk about it more in the outro, but basically allows you to give as much as you want in any given year, reap the tax benefit, but you don't have to contribute to actually to a cause. You can let it grow tax free, and you can give when the time is right for you.
Yeah, this is something really cool, and like you said, this wasn't available recently, and honestly, Charity Vest wasn't even available until just now. So why don't we talk to him? Here's Sam. He's going to talk to Stephen Kump, who is the CEO and co-founder of Charity Vest. This week's sponsor of Invest Like a Boss is Rad Diversified REIT. They have built something that has proven to thrive in good and bad economic times. I'm going to give you 7 reasons that make Rad Diversified REIT a fund you should consider. Number 1, Rad Diversified REIT has customizable payouts. Create how you want your money to work for you. Number 2, Rad Diversified has amassed a portfolio of $67 million in member partnerships. Number 3, in 2019, Rad had an annualized return of 44%. Number 4, Rad offers monthly distributions, a 5% bottom line guarantee. You can even check out their SEC filing when you head over to raddiversified.com/boss. Number 5, Rad kept its entire staff employed during the pandemic and took 0 government assistance while aggressively acquiring assets. Number 6, for over a decade, CEO Dutch Mendenhall has been educating others in real estate and streamlining how he acquires properties. And number 7, you can invest in Rad for as little as $1,000. Dutch's expertise in residential, commercial, multifamily homes, and even income-producing farms like the American Survivalist Projects, which we recently talked about on episode 194, if you want to go back and check that out, is helping to bridge the gap between the rich and the middle class. You can learn more by heading to raddiversified.com/boss and see how you can be a part of a fund that is a step above others. That's raddiversified.com/boss. RADDIVERSIFIED.com/BOSS.
All right, we're back. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sam. Good to be here.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Today, we're going to be talking about donor-advised funds, specifically your company, Charity Vest. And I guess I first heard the term DFA through my accountant last year when I was trying to figure out smart ways to contribute to charities, smart being tax beneficial. And yep. I had never heard the term before. And so start digging into it. He said, for sure, that's the route he would recommend. Near-term and long-term. And so I started digging into it, and we found you guys pretty quickly thereafter, and we're able to line up this episode. So I'm excited to have you on and hear about what you're building and how you got into the industry. And maybe that's a great place to just kick off, is just kind of how you got started in this industry.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sam. I'm a recovering management consultant who wanted to do something a little bit more impactful for the world. And I got into philanthropic consulting, helping major donors make decisions about where they should give their money. And that was really fulfilling work. But one of the unique things that I noticed is that many of my clients had these tax deductible charitable giving accounts called donor advised funds, as you mentioned. And I noticed that it gave them a different mental model for their giving. And what I mean by that, they made a decision of how much they're going to give, period, without having to figure out any of the downstream stuff, like how much to this organization or that organization, what's the structure. They just decided, all right, how much of my assets or how much of my income am I going to put aside in this giving account? And then I'll figure out the rest from there. And that process for them was a bit of an unlock. It brought more joy into the process of giving. It also helped them think more clearly around the tax smarts, as you mentioned, Sam, of these donor advised funds, avoiding capital gains on assets and also thinking multi-year across income tax deduction years with their giving. And I, you know, had never heard of donor advised funds before, seeing some of my clients use them. And as I looked into them, they were basically only for, you know, the 1%, the ultra high net worth and high net worth. And I just asked the question, why haven't these giving accounts come down market? Why aren't they for everyone? And the answer was that nobody had invested in technology enough to bring fees down enough and, you know, to where it would come outside of the world where only financial advisors and CPAs had awareness of them. And so that's really where CharityVest got its start, is this idea of, like, could we create technology to lower the fees, lower the minimums, and make donor advised funds more accessible to the mainstream, to enable, you know, people to be tax smart with their charitable giving and more intentional with their charitable giving, all over the economy, not just the ultra high net worth.
That's a really interesting background, Stephen. And so is a donor advised fund effectively, you say it was previously, before technology, was kind of just for the 1%. And I read some of that detail on your website as well, saying that just it was the limitations and the complexity of getting that set up were pretty significant. So is a donor advised fund in that sense effectively like setting up your own charitable organization? And then through the technology, you're making that accessible to kind of the masses.
Yeah, what you're tugging on here, Sam, is a little bit of the, you know, dissonance that I had when looking at this industry, because legally donor advised funds are incredibly simple. They're not setting up a charitable organization. They're really just sort of like setting up a checking account within a bank. You know, if you think about the donor advised fund sponsors a bank and, you know, a customer comes along and wants to open an account, that's sort of similar with a donor advised fund, you know, motion is like, it's just opening an account and there's not a lot of structural complexity there. But the existing providers or sponsors of these donor advised funds, when I first got into this industry, were making it what I felt like was, you know, more complex than it needed to be. And the gap was technology. They were still dependent on, you know, paper forms for much of the money movement and opening of these accounts. There were significant fee minimums to jump in, or contribution minimums rather. And then there were fees, hundreds of dollars in minimum fees, and most donor advised funds still have those structures in place. And so I just thought with technology, we could make this a more friendly motion, make it simpler, put some better marketing around it, call it a charitable giving account instead of a donor advised fund. That sounds complicated. So that's really what CharityVest is up to, is we're creating, you know, a really intuitive platform around this idea of a charitable giving account.
You had alluded to the fact that in your history, in your background with dealing with wealthy people and their charitable giving and philanthropic contributions. I'm curious as to what you see with kind of the patterns of people's giving. I would imagine, and just knowing from myself, it's one of those things that's kind of like, it's on my radar every year, but at the end of the year, I'm just like, I'll put it off till next year. I'll get to it next year. And I could see a lot of people effectively doing that their entire life, just accumulating as much as they can, and then saying towards the end of their life, that's when they'll make a decision to do something. And maybe at that point they do, or maybe they just leave it all in the inheritance to somebody else. But do you see that as a common trend? And if so, or either way, do you think that a platform like CharityVest can make that a little bit more of a regular contribution, or kind of more of people's lifestyle?
Yeah, absolutely, Sam. And this is sort of the what we're pushing on here is sort of what got me over the edge of like, I need to do something. I need to start a company here. There's really some heartstrings aspects to this. We think there are, you know, roughly three types of donors: people who don't give at all, people who give reactively, and people who give intentionally. And what we find is that the more intentionally people give, the people who give reactively over the people that don't give at all, and then the people who give intentionally over the people who give reactively, they find more joy in their giving. I mean, just sort of period. And if you want a quick Google charitable giving and happiness, and there'll be all sorts of studies that come back and talk about the benefits, not just of giving, but the secondary benefits that giving catalyzes within oneself, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. This idea of pro-social behavior, it's a really large area of study within psychology. And so there's a significant benefit to people to become givers and to become more intentional givers. And the biggest obstacle we found with people becoming more intentional about their giving was that they felt like it was complex. And what they mean by that is the decisions they had to make were complex. Like, I don't know what organizations I'm passionate about. I don't know what causes I'm passionate about. I don't know how much to give. I'm not sure what my tax situation is. There are a lot of unanswered questions for me, so I'm just not going to jump in. And some of the magic of donor advised funds is it creates a mechanism for the tax smarts in the upside of charitable giving without having to, at least right now, figure out all the complexity of exactly which organization and when and what program and sort of getting a vision for your charitable giving. You can just make the intentional decision of like, I'm going to be a giver, period, and be able to take advantage of, you know, the tax advantages within this current tax year to give. And so we've seen a lot of people tell us that having a giving account or a donor advised fund has changed the way that they give and the level at which they give, that they can just make a decision a priori, like, I'm going to put 10% of my income aside or 1% of my income, or I'm going to take this $50,000 in assets this year and just put it aside for giving, and I'll grow it over the next 5 years. And as I find things that I'm passionate about, I'll fund them, but I can go ahead and set it aside and get the tax advantages of that giving. And we just see people's activation toward becoming an intentional giver and receiving some of that psychological benefit and sort of relational benefit from giving. We see it happen. We hear people, stories of folks that write into us all the time saying, you know, I'm now, giving is now part of my life. Thank you.
It is true. I mean, people can spend a lifetime thinking about just what they're passionate about giving towards. But if you can at least eliminate the other side of the complexity and the other side of the puzzle and make that a simple decision, then people can spend more time or even wait and allow that passion on what they want to give to and what they want to contribute to develop over time.
My wife and I, we first set up a checking account, a separate checking account to be our giving account before we started Charity Vest, just to test this idea. And we found that it changed the way that we thought about our giving. And emotionally, it felt different when we had someone come to us and say, hey, would you consider supporting me in this charitable cause? Because we already had money set aside. And it wasn't a financial decision anymore. It was a purely giving decision. And we found a lot more kind of joy and happiness in that process of having already taken the financial decision out of the equation when it was time to, you know, figure out, hey, should I allocate some of my giving money to this cause? So it changes the downstream of how giving feels as well. So we find that some people talk about a double emotional benefit. They get kind of a warm glow of making a decision to give when they put it aside in their giving account, and when they see an opportunity they're excited about and send money out of their giving account to that cause or organization. So we see a lot of folks that are excited about this way of doing charity.
I love it. Well, I have a lot of questions about the actual giving component, but real quick, just want to make sure this might be redundant, but with regards to the donor advised fund, is that an actual like special designation by the IRS that allows you guys to operate the way that you do?
Yeah, the donor advised fund is an IRS sanctioned term, and there are some regulations around donor advised funds of, you know, what constitutes a donor advised fund and how are they treated. There are public charities like ours that have been designated as donor advised fund sponsors. And there, that means there are certain ways that we have to behave. And so Charity Best Incorporated is a public charity, 501c3, and we're a donor advised fund sponsor. So we provide these accounts called donor advised funds.
So I saw something very cool on your site that actually Y Combinator is supporting you in one way or another. Can you talk about your relationship there a little bit?
Yeah, we were very fortunate to be able to get into Y Combinator, and we went through their summer 2020 batch. And so we're a Y Combinator backed company, and they've been extremely helpful to us. And, you know, I think part of the reason they were excited to back us is that folks can give their companies their private equity in their shares in private closely held companies into a donor advised fund, even if they're illiquid. And mm-hmm. So we've seen the folks come to us and say, hey, I want to go ahead and make the intentional decision to put, you know, 10% of my holdings in my company to charity. And you can give that to a donor advised fund. And so when there's a liquidation event in the future, that money mm-hmm. comes straight into the donor advised fund. You avoid any capital gains on that transaction, that portion of the transaction. And so Y Combinator got excited about the ability for us to do this for entrepreneurs everywhere, which obviously we're excited about too.
So does this sit into their venture portfolio, or is this sit somewhere else for them?
Yeah, no, we're a fully fledged Y Combinator company. We're backed by Y Combinator. We went through their accelerator, and so they've invested in us just like they did Airbnb, Stripe, Instacart, all the rest
of them. Got it. So you guys have a 501c3 component to your business, but you're still a for-profit business.
Yeah, that's right. That's the unique aspect of what we're doing. And that is we have a 501c3 charity that all the money sits in. And then we have a mm-hmm. for-profit software company that provides all of the software and services for the venture itself. So in a way to think about it, we've created two companies. One holds the money and the other moves the money. And mm-hmm. the charity is the customer of our for-profit that we've set up, which is venture-backed. Yeah.
I like these structures. I think it's a really interesting way, but it allows companies to scale with a little bit more of a motive behind it. And some of the charities that I was researching out in Southeast Asia had a similar structure. And I actually, when the first time I heard it, I was like, that's a little odd. But then when I saw the work that they were doing, I'm like, okay, it makes sense, because they're going to be able to scale in a much more effective way, at least in my opinion. So very cool.
Totally.
Very cool. So I want to get to the fun part now. So the investing and the giving. Okay, so I took a look, and it looks like you guys have two portfolio options. You have a core investing portfolio, and you have an ESG, which is also a new term that I've recently heard about. But could you tell us a little bit about these two portfolios? And I guess that's a pretty simplified way of investing. You don't have too much choice there, but it looks like there's some very good quality index funds underneath those. But if you could expand on that a little bit, I think that'd be very helpful.
Yeah, one of the principles that we've taken up in delivering Charity Vest to the world is simplicity. We think simplicity really matters, and that shows up everywhere, certainly in our product experience and interface, but also our investment options. And so we've taken what we feel like is simple and premier. And that is, we provided two portfolios of ETFs, Vanguard and BlackRock ETFs. And so, as you mentioned, Sam, we have a core portfolio, which if we have ETF fans, Vanguard ETF fans out there, it's a blend of, you know, VTI US equities, developed market equities, VEA, and, you know, some fixed income and a cash alternative fund. And so we have three different allocation choices that we recommend based on some simple questions that we ask you: conservative, balanced, or growth within each of these two portfolios. Or we allow you to make your own, to do a custom allocation of these ETFs if you choose to do that. So we leave it up to the donor to decide.
Oh, very cool. Okay. So you could just say, hey, here's these eight ETFs we offer. Here's the percent allocation I want to start with. And you guys can custom mold that for you.
Yep, absolutely. So if you know you're really taking a long-term mindset and you want to go, you know, all in on VTI US equities, you totally could.
That would definitely be Johnny, my co-host Johnny. He's like a two fun guy, and I'm like a 15 fun guy. So we have fun comparing and contrasting our portfolios over every year, but over the course of 6 years. And as of right now, he's smashing me. Over the course of six that's years funny. Of just like two or three funds.
That's awesome.
Talking about a little bit about the tax benefits, obviously there's a charitable component here, but I know a lot of people, including myself, are interested in the tax component. And one thing you talked about earlier was that this allows you to take a tax benefit now, but not necessarily make a decision on where to send the money. Or which calls to send the money to. And I think that is critically important because, to your point, it really simplifies the fact that you don't have to make both decisions immediately. You can make one decision now and you can make another decision at a later point with no downside.
Yep, that's exactly right. You know, as I was a philanthropic advisor, I saw a lot of my clients have to make decisions around their giving at points in time. You know, they might have a liquidation event with a company that they own, or you only have every year you pay a certain amount of income tax. That doesn't change regardless of whether you give to charity or not, or asset prices change. And so, you know, one time might be more advantageous to donate an asset versus another time. And what we found is that, you know, those life events don't necessarily correspond to when you're ready to give to a charity. And what donor advised funds do is they allow you the flexibility to sort of focus on, all right, what is most tax smart now? And let's take those actions. And then we'll figure out exactly what to fund at a later time. So you're exactly right, Sam. It's a really, really powerful part of donor advised funds. And the CharityVest experience just makes that really, really simple and lowest possible fee.
Got it. I know you're not a tax advisor, Stephen, although I'm sure you have a little bit of background, but just high level, what is the typical tax deduction when you give, what was just say you invest or start a fund, an account with CharityVest? What does that look like as a tax deduction for your typical, I guess we're talking about Americans specifically now.
Yeah, not a tax advisor. You're exactly right, Sam. I know enough to be dangerous. So, you know, listen in at your own risk, folks.
Right.
but there's really two things that we need to worry about when we think about taxes and, you know, giving's ability to affect the taxes we pay. First is our income taxes. And so, you know, as many folks on this podcast would know that, you know, every year you get a standard deduction here in the U.S., and that is different if you're single versus married and filing jointly. And it's hard since the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in 2017 for a lot of folks to clear the standard deduction. And so if you don't clear the standard deduction, and in fact, you know, marginally, giving is not tax deductible unless you clear that standard deduction. And so, you know, that's the first piece that we care about when we think about the taxes and our giving. I'll come back to that in just a second. The second piece that we care about is capital gains tax on when we sell assets. And that is, you know, if I bought a stock for $1 and I sell it tomorrow for 10, I am charged capital gains tax on the 9 that I gained. And for folks that have stocks, you know, private company interest or cryptocurrency that has gone up in value, and when you sell those assets, Uncle Sam is going to want a piece of your gains. And so when you donate those to a charity, when you donate the asset before you sell it, you don't have to pay any capital gains tax on that asset. You just get an income tax deduction for that whole amount, and you pay no capital gains taxes. And so it's really, really powerful on two fronts. Don't have to pay capital gains tax, and you get an income tax deduction for that full amount. And so coming back to the income tax deduction side, asset giving really creates this unique opportunity to both avoid capital gains and to get above that standard deduction for a lot of people. to make a decision within a single tax year, to give some assets, avoid capital gains, and then to take an income tax deduction well above the standard deduction in a particular year. And so one follow-up here is we encourage folks to think multi-year about their giving. And we see a lot of folks on our platform decide to give more in this tax year and give less in future tax years as a way to be tax smart and clear the standard deduction by a greater amount. What do I mean by that? If we are able to give some assets or give a large amount of cash this year and get as far as we can above the standard deduction and itemize, and then we give nothing in the next 2 years and we take the standard deduction, we're actually over that 3 year period able to maximize the amount of income tax deductions that we're taking over that 3 year period. So that creates a really unique opportunity. And unless, you know, you want to do some strange things with, you know, give big this year to a charity and give nothing the next 2 years, you kind of need a donor advised fund, a giving account to be able to put that aside, invest it over that period of time, and then make distributions to charities you want to support. So those are kind of the two key things to think about. And we can talk more if we want to, avoiding capital gains tax and maximizing our income tax deductions. And a donor advised fund, it brings a lot of simplicity and flexibility around our ability to do that.
Note to my CPA, Mario, to re-listen to this, because I think this is better tax advice with regards to charitable giving than I've received from him yet. I'm definitely looking forward to re-listening to this, but I was just thinking through this actually, and I'm sure there's a ton of little strategies, but one that just popped up was like, okay, at the end of this year, let's say I want to give X to charity, let's say $50,000. The strategy then would be to sell an asset that I have a gain on and thus realize a gain, to liquidate that cash and then put it into a DFA via charity vest. The strategy would be to just transfer whatever it is, that asset that has a gain on it, straight to charity vest. So I don't actually have to pay the gain, because if I sold it to free up the cash and then sent the cash over, then I would realize a gain. I would have to pay a capital gain. Does that sound more or less accurate?
You've nailed it, Sam. Exactly. If you're going to give to charity and you have appreciated assets of any variety, it is for most folks, and this is where I have to, you know, I'm not a tax advisor, but in most cases for most folks, it is more tax advantage to donate the asset, not the cash realized, but the asset itself to a charitable organization. And donor advised funds are positioned to make this, you know, super easy. A lot of people feel like, oh, like donating stock or donating crypto, that must be complicated. In fact, you know, organizations like CharityVest, we exist to make it simple. So we put a lot of work in making it simple, and we can do it quite quickly and easily, and provide you, you know, really straightforward information to make your paperwork that you'll need when you go to file your taxes really straightforward. So we've taken all the complexity out, and you know, we're enabling folks everywhere to be able to take advantage of asset giving. And in fact, if you know, you're one of the folks that does not itemize, that you take a standard deduction every year, asset giving is really the key way that you can make giving tax advantaged. Because if you give cash and you don't itemize it, it actually won't be marginally tax advantage for you. But if you give assets, then it is. And so we want to make asset giving much more mainstream. And that's part of, you know, what we exist to do, is to help people be intentional about their giving and also tax smart. And asset giving is probably the number one way that we can encourage people to be more tax smart with their giving.
And Stephen, what kind of non-cash assets can you donate specifically to CharityVest?
Yeah, we will take just about anything here. We will take, of course, stock. We'll take crypto. You know, mutual funds. We can take if you have a lot of mutual funds you want to donate. We'll take a vacation home. We'll take interest in a private company. We have a partnership with the world's leading mind in illiquid assets giving, and he can execute really complex gifts for us. But most folks, of course, just give stock or crypto, and we've made that process super straightforward and super simple.
Does anyone ever call you and say, Stephen, I got this piece of land that I inherited out in the boonies. I don't have no idea what to do with it. Can you just take it off my hands for me?
Yeah, we actually have taken a tract of land, and we've helped facilitate a donation of about 100 acres of land in northern Georgia. And that Charity at Vest helped this donor donate, and it was extremely tax advantage for them to do so. Wow. And then they've supported some great charities as a result. But I've heard some weird stories. Charity Vest hasn't had any that are crazy weird, but I've heard about you know, agricultural surplus being donated mm-hmm. to charity. You know, I've heard about international land, you know, being donated to U.S. charities. So it can get strange, but most people donate appreciated stock or crypto.
And then what would be the process once you guys receive that asset? Do you convert it into cash and then into the funds that you guys offer, or is it something different?
Yeah, exactly, Sam. So what's going to happen is, if you don't donate stock or crypto to us, we'll receive the asset. And then as quick as we can and intelligently, we're going to liquidate that to cash. And then we're going to credit that into your donor advised fund, your giving account at Charity Vest. And you know, you get an email and say, hey, you got credit for this much in your account. And then from there, you, the donor, can advise to invest that in some of the investment portfolios that we talked about just a little bit earlier.
Fantastic. All right. So I guess the third pillar would be just the actual giving component, and a few questions on that. But if you could just kind of summarize what that looks like, is it an annual thing? Is it, you know, imagine you have, you direct it upon death, what you want to do with it and stuff like that. But maybe if you can talk about some of the options and flexibility that people have there.
Yeah, donor advice funds are incredibly flexible. And, you know, we don't claim to know about a donor's situation or a donor's passion. We call it their vision for good. And so we want to maintain that flexibility within Charity Vest. And so you can decide to advise to give that to any charity at any time, really on your timeline, whether that's immediately after, you know, you put money in your account, you can immediately send it to a charity. We don't charge any fees on that. So that's a great way to get a large gift to a charity in an economically advantaged way. Or as you alluded to, Sam, you can set up a beneficiary within Charity Vest upon your death of what we do with that money. And we can send that to a charity. We can enable the advisory privileges of a donor advised fund to roll over to someone else. You can pick somebody else as the beneficiary to receive the advisory rights on that money. So it's extremely flexible, and we've wanted to maintain that at Charity Vest.
Cool. So for just, I guess, let's just use my personal case. If I wanted to donate every single year, more or less to the same charities and sort of a fixed amount, I could set that up with you guys or just direct it at the end of each year and say, you know, please send $5,000 to charity one and $5,000 charity two. And then you guys would manage that within my account to free up the required cash to send out those monies.
Totally. Exactly right, Sam. It's completely flexible, however you want to give. So if you hop on every once in a while and just, you know, say, hey, give X to Y charity, that's great. If you want to set up automatic distributions to charities, you can set up a recurring grant to charities in our platform. Just say, hey, give X to Y charity every single month. You can set that up. It's truly completely flexible for you, the donor, to advise on, you know, how distributions get made to charities.
Fantastic. And then I guess at that point, when you're sending out the money to actual charities, there's not necessarily additional paperwork that I would need as a tax filer, because what I would be filing is basically the contribution that I made to Charity Vest, not twice, correct?
Not exactly
Charity
right.
Vest and then outwards with the funds.
Exactly right. Since the entity that you're putting money into is a 501c3 public charity, the taxable event or the tax advantaged event came when you put the money inside of Charity Vest. And so that to say, when we send money out to charities outside of Charity Vest, it's just one public charity making a payment to another public charity. And in fact, you know, the charity that receives the money out of your donor advice fund is actually not required to receipt you as the original donor, because CharityVest already did that. So in fact, it kind of creates a small administrative advantage for giving through a donor advice fund for the receiving charity. And you, the donor, also, this is a nice little moment to mention, you have complete control over how much information the receiving charity gets about you, the donor. So you can release your name and contact information, or you can be all the way completely fully anonymous. And so there are a lot of folks that jump on CharityVest and they can't stand receiving the mailers from charities when they donate for 5 years afterward. And so they want to be anonymous or restrict the contact information that the charities receive as a way to kind of avoid those situations. And we're about empowering donors. You know, we know charities, it's important for charities to kind of know who's giving. And so, you know, our default is to release your name and email address, but at any time you have full flexibility on how much the, you know, contact information mm-hmm. charities receive.
Very cool. And then, so we would only receive as in, I guess, what do we call as customers, as contributors, as account holders?
Yeah,
we call
users or donors. Yeah.
Users or donors. Donors, there we go. As donors, we would only receive paperwork from tax paperwork from CharityVest in years that we contribute to CharityVest, additional That's monies right. to CharityVest. Yeah.
That's right. We're going to give you an annual statement. It's, mm-hmm. you know, an automated annual statement. It comes in January every year for the prior calendar year. And that'll show you how much, you know, we think how much was tax deductible in terms of your contributions. And obviously it's not authoritative. Ultimately, it's between you and the IRS, what exactly the tax treatment is on any donations. But we provide you that statement every January. And then for any asset gifts, we also provide you the supporting information for you to fill out the requisite forms, you know, for any asset gifts. And we kind of spoon feed that information to you and make it real simple. It doesn't need to be complicated.
Like it. Well, just in closing, Stephen, can we talk a little bit about fees and how you guys compare to other offerings or other providers out there? I haven't found much out there online in terms of other DFAs that make it seem like it's a very simple process. But if you know of a couple that you could give us some comparisons, it would be helpful.
Yeah, the donor advice fund industry has been trending more and more donor friendly, which obviously is great. That's you know, kind of why I jumped into this space, is to help catalyze some of that. And so fees have been coming down, but I don't think they've been coming down fast enough. And I don't think donor advice funds have become simple enough. And so that's really where CharityVest is like really trying to push the envelope. So our asset-based fees, we charge fees on invested assets. So we don't charge any fees for money you just put in a donor advice fund. We charge fees on the invested portion. And our fees start at 45 basis points. And other donor advice funds, the next best out there is 60 basis points. The traditional donor advice funds have come down to 60, but we're pushing the envelope a little bit to bring it down to 45. And then we're cheaper at every single fee tier. As many asset-based businesses, the more assets you have, the lower the blended fee as you get larger in assets. And we have a lower fee at every tier level than the traditional industry. We're trying to push that down further. So that's our goal, is to continue to push asset-based fees down. We also don't charge any fees whatsoever for you to donate assets. So some donor advice funds will charge kind of a service fee for you to donate stock or crypto or an asset. We don't charge any fees on that. We want to partner with you in your giving and kind of establish a long-term partnership. And we don't have any minimums. So you can open an account with $0. We have a $20 contribution minimum and a $20 grant minimum, which is the lowest that we know about out there. And so I'm excited to see what happens in the donor advice fund industry over the next few years as we're endeavoring to push the envelope. There are a number of folks that are creating donor advice fund technology now, and we're one of them. And I'm excited to see fees come down and simplicity go up and donor advised funds become much more mainstream. They're growing fast and they need to grow even faster.
I love it. I love the narrative behind everything as well. And I swore when I looked last year and was doing a little bit of a comparison myself, I thought the fees kind of across the board were closer to 1% or even over 1%. Is that accurate or?
Yeah, it is, Sam. And actually most donor advised funds, the admin fee is over 1%. You know, 60 basis points is the current cheapest out there. So that's like the best. And so most donor advised funds are still over 1%. It's also worth noting that fees in the donor advised fund space are kind of split at two levels. I've just been talking about administrative fees. There's also investment, you know, at the asset level fee on the investments themselves. And most donor advised funds, you know, the best out there, that's another like, you know, 40 bips usually, or 50, and can be as high as another 100 basis points. And CharityVest is, we talked about earlier, kind of the portfolio selections. We've, you know, in looking at what's premier and simple, one of the criteria of simple was low fee. And so, you know, our portfolio is made up of fees that, you know, are like 3 to 10 bips. And I think the blended on our portfolio, you know, comes in around 5 to 7. So, you know, we're like, when you put that, you know, with our 45 basis point administrative fee, you know, we're looking at 50 to 55 basis points all in. Even the cheapest out there, if you look at Fidelity, Vanguard, Schwab, those are kind of the big ones that are at that kind of cheapest 60 basis point level. They're going to be around 100 basis points, kind of with those two fees blended together. Usually, it depends a little bit on what assets you select to invest in. But at that point, when you blend those two together, we're much cheaper.
Now, if you can only help everybody figure out where their passion in giving lies, but that can be part two of what you guys do.
There you go. And we're going to continue to push the envelope there too, because that's the big win. You know, ultimately, yeah. we want people to experience, you know, a life of giving. Nobody wants to give less to charity. You know, that's kind of a thing that we say in the hallways around here. Like, nobody ever gets to their deathbed and it's like, man, I want to give less. I wish I would have given less in my life. And so we want to help people kind of live the richest possible life they can and catalyze that by giving them a really tax smart mechanism to use.
Love it. Stephen, I saw on your site, just real quick before closing, that there was a unlock zero fees for 2022. Is that some type of promotion that you guys are running?
We are indeed. So we would love, as we have just recently released our investments capability on our platform, we would love to offer, you know, listeners here the ability to jump in for a year at zero fee, truly zero. And so if you go to charityvest.org/boss, you can put your email on that little list there, and we'll go ahead and put any account you create with us to zero fees for 2022. So we're excited about that.
I love it. Well, I'm sold and I'm looking forward to doing this with you. It's something I've been wanting to do for a while, but this is certainly the catalyst for it. And hats off to you. I think this is really important work, what you guys are doing and driving here, and not only getting in the industry, but making it more accessible for so many people. Great stuff. Stephen, thanks for coming on and sharing your time and telling us a little bit about CharityVest. And we're looking forward to sharing with the listeners.
Thanks for having me, Sam. This is really fun.
Okay, Sam, so much good information in there. I don't think I ever even heard of these things until you brought them up. And this CharityVest, if you go to their site, like he said, he just set up a site for us, especially charityvest.org/boss. The app looks super slick. It's like one of these kind of dashboards and everything it makes it easy. The kind of things that we love.
Definitely. When I first started looking into these, earlier in the year, the one thing that put me off was the fees, right? Because we're such a low fee. Are we an organization yet, Derek? Would you consider us an organization? Or we're just a community?
let's call it a community. I like community better.
Okay. We're such a low, if you go back and actually just did this, had a buddy write me and say, like, he's just getting new to investing and like where to start. And I sent him kind of 5 recommended episodes and said, you know, listen to these and come back to me with what you learned. And like, if you do that, low fees are always going to be one of those key pillars. And especially when it comes to charities, like the thing that really is bothersome about charity and giving to charity is just the misuse of funds, right?
Totally.
I was in Cambodia, Derek, when we were doing back in the day when Johnny and I did a little fundraiser to build playgrounds in Cambodia. You go to Phnom Penh and it's loaded with NGOs. There's like a whole street that's just dedicated to NGO, called offices, right? And the amount of money that pours into Cambodia every year in terms of goodwill and philanthropy is amazing. And if that money was put to use, people in Cambodia would be just as well off as people in their neighboring Thailand, right? I mean, I'm talking billions and billions and billions of dollars. And there's not many people in Cambodia. It's like a population of like 12 million or something. But all that money is misused. Maybe not all of it, but a large, large chunk of it. And you go see these NGOs and it's just these idiots that are, you know, there's just a buddy that runs the NGO and they just hired a friend to go like basically sit in an office chair and they're making a $30,000-$40,000 a year paycheck. And like money is just not getting appropriated because these people aren't passionate about it. You know, they're just collecting a paycheck. And a lot of people, including, I just read an article on like billionaires, why are they not giving as much money as they want? It's because they're not willing to like send $1 billion blank check to a charity organization. So they have to like hire these massive teams to try to facilitate it, to make sure that the money that they're donating actually goes to a good cause. Right. And so it's the same when like you're looking at donating charity on any level, people are always worried, where's the dollars going and stuff. And when you're putting money into a fund that's going to benefit charity, what you don't want to see is a bunch of fees packed into that fund, right? Because we know in Vanguard funds, we're talking basically no fees or like less than 10 basis points for the most part, right? So when I started looking at these donor advised funds, going back a year ago, most of the fees were like 1% a year, which we've always been like, no, that's a no-no, right? That's like financial advisory type fees, which we're always pushing people to get away from. Sure. But what one good thing that I have seen is just in the last year, those fees across some of the and there's not many competitors out there actually, because again, this is a new thing. The fees have come way, way down. And so I think that's a good thing with competition, of course, is going to bring fees down. We're pretty close to 30 basis points with CharityVest, 30, 40 basis points. But let's just say at 30 basis points, I mean, the service and value that they're adding is worth that, right?
Yeah, I also like the fact that
we're talking
that there's no fee to donate any of your assets. So if you have, you know, a Bitcoin or you have stock in whatever, they're not going to charge you to transfer that. I thought that was really huge too.
Yeah, no, I think they add a ton of value in facilitating this. Like honestly, even like the privacy bit and me not having to, if you want to give to like three different charities each year, not having to contact them and work that and work with the tax receipts and all that stuff, it's worth it.
And just the emails and the junk mail. And I'm like, how much are we spending on this stuff when we could have used this money to actually go to the cause?
Right. Exactly. It. And I have to be honest, I like their for-profit structure. You know, I think a lot of good comes out of these because you're able to retain smart people, good quality people, interests are generally aligned. You know, where interests are misaligned is like that example I gave you in Cambodia, where you have the NGOs and you have these like post-college students that are just sitting there collecting a paycheck and they don't have any, they haven't developed compassion yet in their life. They're not in it for the philanthropy. They're like, you know, they're basically just there like having a third world adventure and getting paid for it. But so there's a lot of great organizations like, Room to Read is another one that I checked out, I have to come up with a name of that. Forget it. But there's a lot of charitable organizations that are adopting this structure, and it allows them to scale quicker and make, you know, the interests are transparent, right? Like we're making money here, but we're able to scale our operations here, type of thing. So I think in that case, this is something good. I mean, they've obviously attracted Y Combinator, which is incredible, which can, you know, just through that network alone, imagine how much giving that they'll be able to get through all those entrepreneurs that are sitting on hundreds of millions, billions of dollars just in stock, right? So I think that was a smart move by Y Combinator.
I think it's going to be amazing. As far as the tax deduction side, there's something that I'm still kind of confused about. I'm not sure if you can answer it, Sam, but let's say, for instance, my account value in gains, I gained $100,000 for the year. but I only gave $50,000 to charities. So as far as my deduction on gains, am I able to deduct that whole $100,000 for the year, or just the $50,000 that I actually dispersed out of my account to a charity?
So if you gained $100,000 and then you said, okay, I'm going to donate $50,000 to charity,
but I'll leave the rest, the remaining $50,000 in the account.
Yeah. Well, there's two different things you're talking about here, I think. But let's just say you had, let's say in your business, Derek, you made $100,000 and you captured that $100,000, right? And then at the end of the year, like, okay, I have $100,000 gain I'm going to be taxed on. Now I'm going to give $50,000 to charity. That giving that $50,000 would lower your basis of your gain to $50,000, right? So you gave away $50,000. Now you're being taxed on $50,000 instead of $100,000.
Correct. Right? But the additional $50,000 in the account is not actual money that's coming to me. It's still in the charitable account. So it's not my asset. That's where I'm a little confused, I think.
Okay. So I think that's a separate scenario that we'd be talking about. So if you had $100,000 in this charity vest fund and you gave $50,000 away in a year, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. So in order to get the $100,000 into that charity vest fund, you would be getting $100,000 off of your income basis whenever you gave that money, whether it's in one lump sum or if you put that money in over time, right?
Sure. But what if that $100,000 came from capital gains from the initial money through the year?
Right. So if you made $100,000 and then you put that $100,000 into charity vest, right?
Yeah, let's go with that. Sorry, I'm confusing things, I think. So
in that case, you would have zero basis.
Sure.
So you would get, so let's say you have a $100,000 gain in a stock this year, and you're like, I'm not even gonna sell it. I'm just gonna transfer that charity vest. You would have zero gain, right? That money would go into charity vest. You would have zero gain, so you wouldn't even have a write off in that sense, right? And then whenever you want, whether it's next year, this year, 10 years from now, you want to give that money to an actual charity versus it just sitting in the funds of charity vest. Nothing would actually happen. You would give the money to charity, but you wouldn't have any additional tax write-off at that time.
Oh, gotcha. Even if the asset appreciated, you still wouldn't get any additional write-off.
Right. But that's also a really good point is the appreciation is if you put the $100,000 in now and you decide, I don't know what I'm doing with charity. I don't know who to give it to. And you forget about it for 20 years and that $100,000 becomes $500,000. You're not getting any additional write-off or tax benefit.
That was my question. Okay. That makes sense now. Okay.
But you're now giving $500,000 to charity. Right.
Yeah. So obviously, from a philanthropic standpoint, it's great, but there's no additional tax benefit beyond what you're actually putting in the account initially.
That's right. That's right.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes more sense now.
Are you feeling less charitable now?
I sense you might
be doing this only for the tax.
It deflated my balloon a little bit.
You're only giving out of the compounding tax benefits, Derek.
No, but I'm with you, Sam, where I don't trust a lot of these organizations. It's really sad to say. There are a couple local ones here in LA that I do support and I've worked with them directly. And I prefer to give my time. But honestly, recently I have no time for anything. So
you just sound like everybody.
I know. No one has time for anything. I know. But there are organizations that I do trust that I would give it to. But I wouldn't just blanket it out to everyone because there are a lot of shady organizations out there. But I really see this as, I guess, more than a tax deduction, but I like how simple it is because like you said, if you have five charities, you like that's five different transactions you got to sort out and paperwork and tax items and everything. So with this, it's just at the end of the year, it's essentially you're giving maybe to five charities a year, but you're only giving to one really. You're giving to Charity Vest and then Charity Vest is making a charity to charity donation and they're taking care of all that. And you can simplify it with one transaction.
I think if for anyone who was looking to give to charity, I think this is such a good setup because you can, like in this case, this year, I'll have some gains. It would be good to offset those a little bit. I don't know what charity I'm going to give to. Like I'm going through this whole, like what's good. mental puzzle right now. Right. Like for instance, back in the day, I was just go to Philippines a lot and I ended up putting some Filipino through grade school, or not grade school, through college, right?
Sure.
And now she's working in Dubai, and she's working 6 days a week, and she's sending back like all of her money to the Philippines. And I'm like, but like, what is it? Is that indentured servant? What's the word? Servitism? Servitude?
Indentured servant.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Is it better that actually happened, that transpired, that I put her through school, she got educated, and then she went to Dubai, where like anyone who's been to Dubai and seen the immigrant workforce there, it's like, it's pretty bad. I mean, they're like, they're not.
Yeah, I've heard some nasty stories about that.
They're working like crazy. And I'm like, is that better than her just like staying, you know, in the Philippines and having her family around and maybe just working on a farm? I don't, you know, so. And then it's like Bhutan. Look at Bhutan. Bhutan was the happiest place in the world, you know, and it was extremely rural and like no technology. Then they got the internet and TVs, and now most of them are alcoholics, you know, because they've tuned into the world and they're looking at their lifestyle and they're like, this seems kind of backwards, you know? So it's like, what is actually good? But there's obviously a lot of great causes out there. The thing is what's great is that through these funds and like with Charity Vest, is you don't have to figure out the whole picture today, you know? Like if I give money this year, frankly, it's for the tax benefit. I will capture that tax benefit. I'll have the money sitting there, and it can grow. You know, if the market doubles in the next 5 years or 10 years, then that's going to double, and I can do more. And at the end of each year, there's enough money there that's just growing annually through appreciation that I can send money each year to an organization because the money's in the account. It's like, it's just, I don't know. I think it'll make giving a lot easier. It'll make a much easier decision because the money will be in there. It'll be for that purpose. You'll see growth, assuming you're investing for a long enough period of time. And then each year you can give a little bit and feel great about it.
I think that's a great point, especially when we're in a bull market like we are right now, or if you made a ton off crypto and you're just dreading that tax statement coming up. I think it's the best time ever when the economy is booming like this to put a big chunk aside for this year. And then in the case that, you know, maybe the economy slows down and you don't have such a great year in the next couple of years, then it's, you know, the tax hit is going to be fine. If you're going to have a huge tax bill this year and you're expecting that, why not put a big chunk away? And then you always have that account there to give however you want in future years.
Yeah. And if you go totally bankrupt, maybe you can get Charity Vest to send you some money.
Give me it back. I need a charitable donation.
Can you wire it to this organization where who's giving me a bed and some bread for the day?
Okay. One really quick note before we get out of here. Steven mentioned they'll even take property. So that put a light bulb in my head to you, Sam. I think you have a Thai property or two that you haven't seen in a long time. Any thoughts about maybe just dumping something like that into a charity?
No.
When's the last time you've been at one that you haven't been at in a long time.
It doesn't matter. I still love those, right? I'm not giving away things I love. Here's a few things that I would like to give away. My senior housing properties REIT.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see where you're going here.
And it's just like crippling to look at, and a reminder of don't buy stocks that you read off of blogs.
But if you give that to Charity Vest, you can just give it in the form of the stock, right? So they can continue to hold that stock. So even if it does come back, right? Or would they convert it into a fund?
I think they'll try to liquidate everything and then put it into one of their funds.
Okay.
That's a good follow-up question. Would they, in that case, would they hold it? I don't know. I don't think so. But no, I would rather get rid of some of the crap in my portfolio that I really don't like looking at, but I'm kind of holding just because I think it might come back. But the good things in my portfolio, I think I'll keep those for a while.
Okay. Okay. I got some of those dogs I stare at every morning. That'd be nice to be in a separate account.
How about you, Derek? You know, you have a car that you don't like. You're thinking about getting rid of. Why not just donate that to Charity Vest? Why don't you do something good this week?
I don't own anything, Sam. Everything's rented. I rent everything. I rent my car. I rent my apartment. Everything I own is digital. So I don't have to stare at anything physically that I'm maybe not using, like an apartment that I haven't seen in 2 years.
Derek, I know there's a few stocks that you own that we've talked about, so you can't hide those from me.
I think there's some that we mutually own. There's some that we mutually own.
What are you donating this year? I'm pledging some stock right now to Charity Vest for 2021. I want to know, what are you doing?
Charity Vest, is there any interest in a vegan food company?
No, you want to hold on to that one.
Yeah, no. It'll come back.
That's a good point, though, actually. That is a good point, because charity and private sector and all these things, like, you know, also not a bad idea for giving when you think of charity. It's just to invest in a stock or a public company or a private company that is for purpose. You know, is it better? Is it better to give $100,000 to Haiti's government after the earthquake? Or is it better to invest $100,000 in a very good food company? What's better for humanity? What do you say, Derek?
Well, you got me thinking a lot about this in recent episodes that we have talked about. And I did recently sell one of my oil stocks. I still do hold some, but I've also invested in things like EVgo, which is, you know, electric vehicle chargers, and very good food company, which is, you know, new sources of food. What else? Vital Farms, which is like a sustainable farming food company, things like that, where I think it's kind of been sparked by you, Sam, where you kind of been thinking more on this next, not only in terms of what's coming in the future, but what's best for the planet.
That's great to hear, Derek.
I'm trying, Sam. I'm trying.
A gentleman and a scholar.
All right. So shout out to Stephen for coming on. We really appreciate it. If you guys want to learn more, he set up a site that all of 2022, they'll waive their entire fee, which is awesome. So no service fees, nothing. Just charityvest.org/boss. And if you guys sign up, hit us up either in Patreon or Boss Lounge. Let me know that you signed up. He also sent me a special link where we can give out $20 to everybody who does it. That'll just dump into your account, and it's free money to give to any charity you want. But you gotta notify us. So Boss Lounge, Patreon, however you do it, hit us up. We'll send you $20 free to put in your account as well.
Derek will send you $20 free, because I didn't see that email, and to make sure he's not pledging all of our Patreon money to back to the Patreons.
No. Gift from Charity Vest. So if it doesn't work out, it's on them.
Great. Good job setting up this episode, Derek. Thanks, Stephen, for coming on the show. I learned a lot. I'm going to set up an account. This scratches a big itch for me, and hopefully it does a little bit of good in the world.
Yeah, definitely. If you guys do it, like I said, check out Patreon too. We got so much stuff coming. We just did our third Boss Insider. I'm loving these deals. We got new special insider deals that we're going to get deeper into. Sam is working his magic over there. So check out investlikeaboss.com/Patreon. And we will get you in there as low as $5 a month, like crazy deals. And we have stuff every single month going on in Patreon to give you guys exclusive access to deals that you just can't find in the general public. And I don't think you're going to find a better deal out there. So check out the website. It's investlikeaboss.com. Click on Become a Patreon. I think that's all I got. Anything else from you, Sam?
No, man. iLab's rolling. Let's keep up the volume. Keep up the chat.
Awesome. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Invest Like a Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlikeaboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.